Bottom Line in Business. Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjoe Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjoe Gall.
Morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is the Pied Piper CIO. Our guest for today's show is David Johnson. He's the Global Information Officer for Jones Lang LaSalle. Good morning, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Sanjoe. How are you?
Very good. And so how's business treating you and how's life? I think we cannot play any more golf because it's what? You're in Chicago as well, right? So am I. So it's kind of cold now.
Well, we can sneak away and play some golf. But business is treating us really well here at Jones Lang LaSalle. It's been the busiest year on record for us. We've had record earnings this year, record number of acquisitions, IT requirements that are exploding. So my users are demanding users, and we're really driving the real estate business here at Jones Lang LaSalle.
That's very encouraging to hear. And at the same time, now, since you mentioned that your IT needs are exploding and people will be expecting IT to show the path to more innovation, more profitability, more success in the organization. And while we may say this, but many times we have learned that non-IT employees many times don't know the name of the IT leader or many people who are, you know, driving that whole group. And we have tried doing different things in terms of communicating with them occasionally, but seems that it is not working as well as it should. So why do you think that is happening?
Well, I mean, the first thing I can think of there is that, you know, we're traditionally not marketeers. This is no slur on marketing people, but you know, we're kind of heads down, do stuff kind of people. We're very service oriented, but we're also incredibly process oriented, and so process people don't make the most popular guests at cocktail parties because we tend to talk in a linear fashion. Most of our processes include sort of a first, second, and third tier type of a support function. And so the average user really doesn't get to interact with all the different levels of the chain. They may start with first and get to third, but they don't necessarily, you know, your typical user at Jones Lang LaSalle doesn't typically talk to me on a daily basis. Now, of course, the executive groups do. And so when I measure how well we're doing at a communication level and our ability to permeate, when I think about myself in the organization, I really think about those executive groups and am I making headway there? Do they know who I am? Do they know what my mission is and what my strategy is? And do they know how that affects them and their business? If they don't know that, then that's a real problem. If they do, then it's a matter of how can I then bridge the gap between them and their people? And, you know, we can go to a lot of different methods to do that, some of which have been successful, others maybe not so.
Now, the very mechanics of how we go about, and as you mentioned, that we got to go and talk to them and we got to meet them, usually from a logistics standpoint, we see a get-together is arranged and people would get together. There would be some free food, and most people that you would see going out there very interested in the pizza that they got from a leading vendor. Then the person who talks, and then, you know, while they're on their way back or anybody who they would call after the meeting or before the meeting, hey, I've got this IT guy who's going to come and talk a little bit. That's the way they talk. And, you know, you and I both have been in those shoes where we've attended such parties and such get-togethers. How can we possibly change the face of, the very logistics, the way it's carried out, the way the aura around IT has changed a little bit?
Well, yeah, I think the number one thing that we can do is actually find a way to put money in people's pockets. Because if you think about it, you know, they may be excited about a few bells and whistles when they're viewing a demo from a vendor. But when push comes to shove, the thing that really moves the needle is revenue and income to individuals. And so if we as an IT group can find a way to help deliver that revenue, or to deliver a higher level of efficiency of spend, then we're starting to make some headway in that area. I mean, for a long time we've been cost cutters, and cost cutting really hasn't moved the needle in terms of the likability of IT. But the revenue side does. At Jones Lang LaSalle, we're an outsourced provider for real estate services, and as part of what our customers buy, IT is a part of that package. And so we're starting, especially on our corporate side of our business, we're really starting to make headway with our business people, because they're actually out there selling IT capability of the firm along with their people's capability of providing process and service for the real estate industry. So we're a little lucky as it relates to that in terms of, you know, our comparison to other companies, because we have this sales side of the equation where IT plays a part. But I think that any CIO should be looking for opportunities either through innovation or, you know, just plain, you know, get it done kind of a work ethic to find a way to drive some revenue in their company, even if it's sort of new and interesting and revolutionary. It can put them on the map.
Now, you mentioned about, you know, you've got a sales side to it. At the same time, when it comes to looking at the P&L for IT, I don't know, there's a P in there, usually, because they look at it at the cost center. In your case, as you said, you're lucky. But then they still have that mantra of more with less, and that doesn't go away, and they don't want it to go away, because that's what the way they're defining that more with less is that, you know what, if you're going to do this, then only you'll get creative in keeping the cost low and get the most out of it. Otherwise, if there was no pressure, guess what, you'll get go gung-ho with all the tools and new toys that you can buy.
Yeah, you know, the more or less pressure, even though we have a sales side, it doesn't go away. The way that I work with my executives here is really around metrics. And so it's more for not as much more is really the way I would put it. Because when we look at our costs, we look at it as cost per revenue dollar, cost per head in the firm. And so people understand if we're growing our firm at, you know, 30% per year, which is sort of what we've done over the last couple of years, we can't do that at a flat cost of IT. Because too much is wrapped up in a body in our world, because they need a PC, they need a phone, they need a BlackBerry, they need connectivity to the network. So the way I discuss those things is around, I will make my increase in cost flatter than your increase in revenue. So I'm a net margin contributor to you, as opposed to, you know, I can hold my costs short. I mean, there's an art to that, obviously, because people remember the number they saw at the bottom of their P&L last year in terms of IT costs. And when that whole number is more, everyone says, why are our IT costs going up? But you need to constantly remind them of the way the firm is growing and how things that are really not in control of IT, not in control of the business even, growth of the firm, acquisitions, new offices, new headcount, can really drive those costs, and our job is then to manage within the metric.
Now, all along we spoke about selling or keeping the executive management satisfied that, yes, we are doing a job, we are creating value for you. Coming to the people who are adopters, folks who are also playing an equally important, you know, they're playing an equally important role in kind of giving you a thumbs up or thumbs down in the way IT is working, because frankly, when executive management had to get a poll, they may not just come to IT. They may go to other business, non-IT business unit leaders, and maybe even the staff, and say, how well is that new system that you picked up? Is that working well? How is overall IT, you know, satisfying your needs? And that's how they will come to a decision whether we really did more with less or we did anything whatsoever. So how are you trying to make sure that you sell effectively and you reach out to those people effectively, that when there is a thumbs up or thumbs down poll taken, you get a thumbs up, hopefully.
We do that. I think the number one thing that we try to sell, let's start there, is in this day, people are very, very busy. And change generally means slow down in their process, in their daily lives. They add more time. And most of them think of IT as instead of a time saver or an efficiency tool, they think of it as something that's going to maybe provide the company with more on the back end, so more controls, more data being collected, those types of things, but not necessarily something that helps them with their day-to-day lives. So the number one thing right out of the chute on any project that we have right now is sort of what I would call the ease of use factor. It's really important to do that. We just implemented Microsoft Dynamics CRM package here at the firm, and we have about 1,200 people on that now globally. We're running it in all three regions. We'll probably get to about 4,000 users in about 12 more months. And the thing that really sold the organization on that tool was the fact that it was built into Outlook. And so if they could send a calendar appointment or they could do an email, then they could do CRM, and it was it really helped sell the process. Now, on the back end of that, in secretive fashion, there was a lot of things that the organization gets out of that. They get more data about their customers. We get an ability to monitor and control the sales process a little better than we have before. But on the front end, people get a tool. They now are connected to each other. They know who has a relationship with what client. If they have a question about something that's going on at the Bank of America, for instance, they know who to call. People at the Bank of America know if they need to talk to somebody about mobile engineering, that there's a group of people out there who are in the CRM system that have that expertise. So we're giving them some ways to make their lives easier. And it's not just because it's a database, but because it's built into somebody's process. They send emails about every 5 minutes. They do calendar appointments several times a day, so they're not really doing anything extra. They're just doing it in a place that's all connected.
So again, what you just mentioned is you're giving more feature functionality, which is actually useful, which makes their life easier, and that's what is creating the word of mouth, or there are some other PR communication strategies that kind of tag along with it for you to be able to get the positive vibes about IT.
Well, and there's always the other communication as well, because as much as you make it easy, it is change. And so a lot of people will try to avoid that change whenever they can. So there is sort of carrots and sticks all around. And when the senior managers care enough, they take out some sticks, and we come up with the right levels of communications.
Okay. Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages. And while we can extend this conversation further, we will also talk about the fact that the CIO or the IT leader in any company is actually having to work with the PR, which is handling maybe done internally, or you might be having some outside PR agencies. How are these IT leaders able to handle this new role that has been also given among the many other roles that they are wearing today? So let's talk more when we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
All we talk about is money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
CIO Decisions is the first executive IT magazine to focus on mid-sized businesses. CIO Decisions offers IT executives management strategies and advice for aligning business and IT at fast-growing mid-sized companies. Subscribe today and receive 12 monthly issues of CIO Decisions magazine at no charge to you. Visit CIODecisions.com/subscribe1.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Is your job heavenly or closer to hell on earth? Maybe it's time you stop waiting on employers to make you satisfied and learn how to recognize your own career contentment. Jeff Garten and his expert guests show you how every Thursday at 12 noon Pacific when you tune in to Career Contentment Radio on the Voice America Business Radio Network. Contentment is yours to control and easier to achieve than happiness or satisfaction.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is the Pied Piper CIO, and our guest for today's show is David Johnson, who's the Global Information Officer with Jones Lang LaSalle. We were basically discussing about how do you sell to the adopters who are playing an equally important role in branding IT or giving them thumbs up on the initiatives that may be put in place and whether they will be, you know, taken as success or a failure. And while we were talking about that, something comes to mind is that especially the adopters in, say, Dave, your industry, there may be people who are, you know, MBAs versus people who are sweeping the floor. So that's quite a gamut of non-IT users who you have to sell.
Yeah, I mean, it really is, and we run that full gamut. And so, you know, our mantra is really, you know, communicate early, often, and as many ways as possible, because people really learn in different ways. And you know, traditional things like, you know, emails and broadcast messages and the big banners on our intranet only go so far. I think, you know, your heavy user of IT picks those up, but your more casual users and more executive type users don't. So one of the ways that we, you know, one of the things that we're trying to drive is the concept of video in the workplace. And where we go with video, whether it's the podcasts or YouTube or RSS feeds within the company, or, you know, we're trying to work that out now. But what I'd like to do is try to take IT and make it a commercial. Because one of the things that I find when I talk to almost anybody in my company and they say, you know, Dave, I don't know much about IT, I always give them a quizzical look and I said, come on. You know a lot more about IT than you really like to admit. Did you watch the Bears on Sunday? And they said, well, yeah, I'm a big football fan. So, well, you know, about 50% of every commercial you see is about technology. You know about HDTV, and you know about Comcast broadband internet connections, and, you know, you hear all that stuff, you know all that stuff, you see it, but what you the way you see it helps you learn more about it then you'll even give it credit for. So, you know, what we're trying to do here, what I'm trying to do is a movement towards turning those things that we're doing in IT into commercials and putting them on video, because I think more people learn by seeing and hearing at the same time than do just by reading emails and things like that.
So any specific challenges that you see are kind of chronic issues that no matter what you try to do, something kind of falls through the crack and the method gets distorted sometimes?
Well, you know, if you think about globally, how you can interpret across all the different regions. I mean, we're in 54 different countries and, you know, all three regions, you know, over a couple of hundred markets. And, you can't say the same thing to everybody and have it be interpreted the same way. So, you know, I spend a lot of time when I have crafted messages that I know need to go out and that I know a vast majority of our employees need to understand. I spend a lot of time with the people in the region or even at the country level interpreting what I'd like to say, and placing it in not only their language of choice, but what I'd call the tone of choice for that. Some cultures, they want more of a "you need to do this" tone, where other countries are much more consensus driven, so it can't come off as "you need to do this," but "we'd like you to go do this. So, you know, we spend a lot of time with our marketing communications folks. I spend a lot of time with my local IT teams. We're organized regionally. We've got a global center, but we have regional IT teams. So those teams know the local languages. They know the local cultures. And when a global CIO message comes out, we absolutely need to get it translated in more than just a language basis.
No, this is true in any case. Even if you were doing delivery, the same global scenario, you'd have this translation happening and something getting lost, so we have to use similar strategies. But when we are talking about extending the very reach and the likability of IT, that messaging could be even, I mean, there has to be a different twist to the whole messaging machine, if you will.
Yeah. There's a real twist to the strategy, too, because if you think about in the U.S., where our users are generally more IT savvy, they read a lot more. They take a lot more flights, and they read a lot more in-flight magazines, and they think they know about everything they can know about technology when they end up at the airport on the other end. And so the communication to them is much more about IT strategy, is much more about innovation and the future, where we're taking things and how it relates to the benefits and back to their clients. If you think about our IT in Asia Pacific, it's much more of a, you know, ground level type of a communication. It's, does my PC work, and can I get connected in India, or can I get connected in Russia or China? And those are the things they care about. So it's sort of generational. I would consider Asia, and to some extent Europe, probably a half a generation or a generation behind the Americas. And so I have to communicate differently about different things to those constituents. If I started to communicate about IT strategy and where we're going to your average engineer who's working in Beijing, it's going to go nowhere. And I'll have wasted my time and I'll have wasted their time even trying to read it. But if I can make the communication about something that affects their daily lives, then again the likability factor can go up because, you know, they can translate it to their life, and theoretically that ease of use quotient that we talked about before.
Now, you spoke about something which is a tall order to do it globally, and with among all the 20,000 things that you are supposed to do as an IT leader or any other IT leader who's out there who's challenged with the same task, how on earth do they take on this one more task and do it effectively, and what kind of support machinery that you need around you for you to be able to do that?
Well, I think the answer there is the old joke, very carefully. You start with a strategy, a strategy and how it relates back to the business and the business's strategy. And, you know, we're trying to grow our business significantly at Jones Lang LaSalle. We have a twice first motto that says we want to really grow and double the size of our business in the next couple of years, and you have to think about how can IT help do that, and then, okay, what is going on at the local level that those people are trying to do to contribute to that overall goal, and then translate those messages, my messages, about how IT can help them contribute to the goal of a twice first organization. You know, and then you have to take that and you have to do it at multiple levels. So, you know, for me, it was probably a challenge 3 years ago to have an in at the table with our global executive committee, our global operations committee, our board of directors even. I've got a great manager who's our chief operating officer, chief financial officer, who has made sure that I've ended up with a seat at those tables, and I've managed to script my communication so that they know not only is there a plan in place, but the performance against that plan has been excellent. And so they have begun to feel the trust that's required in order to really listen to the next group of things that we want to do. I mean, we spend a lot of the firm's money, so in order to make sure that we can continue to help the firm grow, we need that investment. And so it's my job to sell to them the possibility and probability that that investment is going to pay off. And I managed to do that fairly well at the higher level. And then if you drop down a level, there's the heads of all the businesses, perhaps the heads of the countries that we service. And there is a gap between the executive level and those heads of business because everybody's busy and not everyone passes on the messages of that incredible global IT strategy that we've created. And so you've got to then translate those things down a notch. What operational things are within that strategy that can help those individual business leaders achieve their goals and objectives. Now, to the regular Joes, it's as simple as things like training, what training we offer, how they can get help, how they can get support, what products are available, hey, what awards are we winning for our products? I mean, we've won several awards over the past couple of years for creativity and innovation in IT, and that does mean something to them because it gives them a feeling that they're not they're not that out there alone. I think one of the most important things that we see is when we get employees from competitors and they come over and they see the technology. I always try to latch onto those people, especially the ones that are not soft-spoken, because it's very easy to show them what we have and how much better we are than our competitors in the industry, and they become your spokesperson. So I've got a number of those scattered throughout the world who've recently come over, and I I get them into meetings and I say, compare us to where you just came from, and the answers really help to sell the likability of what we're doing.
You mentioned that while you had spoken about executive or you can say global IT strategy that was put in place, and you shared that with executive management, but it for some reason was not communicated to the non-IT constituents across the world as you would have expected. Now, is that a norm for organizations to not do it, and therefore IT leaders, like who are at the global level, should take that onus and work with the folks who are responsible for internal communication of sorts to actually make that happen so that we are not banking on someone else who may not be even thinking that it should be done?
The only thing I would say to you is that it probably was as expected. I mean, I don't expect my board and my global executive committee to go out there and figure out how to communicate IT strategy. I expect them to internalize it, understand it, feel good about it, ask the right questions to challenge me. But then it's my job then to take their feedback and my strategy and go populate that. Now, can I use help doing that more than I probably get? Yes. Traditionally, we've done our own communications, and we're not necessarily the best at it. I mean, again, we're process oriented people, fairly linear. The thought of creating commercials around IT is alien to us. It's alien to me. It's something that I struggle with as a CIO. I don't mind talking about what we do, but it doesn't necessarily. It's not the first thing I think about in the morning. I think about what projects do we have going on, what needs to get done today, where are my red zones, my hot zones, where do I need to get resources, those types of things. So, I think one of the things that's really helping us, though, is this sort of revenue side that we talked about earlier in the broadcast, and that was as the revenue starts to flow and people get more excited about IT, then we can get help from people like our PR group, like our internal marketing group, because it becomes part of the overall sales process, and that's what they're charged with. So they can communicate about IT as part of their normal process.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and talk about the mergers and acquisitions, which has become rampant in case of George Lang LaSalle and overall in the business community. And when that happens, then we are building repo, and then that gets shattered or it's taken away just because different people are coming into, they may be replacing or getting added on, and we definitely want to have this a pervasive effect versus in silos. So how do we go about going back to square one, starting all over again, and have that machine, if you will, in terms of communication put in place so that while M&A is a disruption, but it does not totally disrupt the very image that IT has or had initially and what it becomes as a player in the combined organization. So let's talk more when we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
Money, money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money, call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval.com. Visit today.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
CIO Decisions is the first executive IT magazine to focus on mid-sized businesses. CIO Decisions offers IT executives management strategies and advice for aligning business and IT at fast-growing mid-sized companies. Subscribe today and receive 12 monthly issues of CIO Decisions magazine at no charge to you. Visit ciodecisions.com/subscribe1.
Succeeding in your business isn't just about making a living. It's a way of life. Hosts Cliff Inenko and Susan Wilson-Solovic discuss the practical as well as the not-so-practical aspects of owning your own business. Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Succeeding in Your Business, right here on the Voice America Business Channel.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back to the show, folks. Today's topic is the Pied Piper CIO. Our guest for today's show is David Johnson. He's a Global Information Officer with Jones Lang LaSalle. We started talking about M&A, mergers and acquisitions, which are rampant in the business community as a whole, and as Dave also mentioned in an earlier part of the show that he also had his company go through a number of acquisitions. So when that happens, the rapport that we build with the non-IT constituents is shattered very frequently, and then we have to start from square one. So when you have this thing happening in any business or any organization, what type of strategies would actually help meet the challenge so that we don't undo what we have done over and over again?
Well, I mean, for us, this is where it gets exciting because my strategy is something that IT people are very good at, which is to build IT into the M&A process. So at Jones Lang LaSalle, We start with IT as part of the M&A process for every merger and acquisition that we do. The CIO knows about them as soon as the CFO knows about them. And so the communication strategy, the understanding of what the new company is that we're acquiring, is known up front and can be planned for. And then it becomes part of a very repeatable process. We did more than 10 acquisitions this year, and each one of those was really a part of a repeatable process that we developed last year when we integrated a company called Spaulding & Sly, which had more than 500 employees. For instance, we just bought a company in or merged with a company in India that has 1,000 people and 10 offices, if you think about the logistics of doing that, not only doing 1,000 people in 10 offices, but doing it in a country very far away that perhaps didn't have as many rules and regulations and controls around their IT, that could be daunting. But the regional leadership we had in Asia Pacific understood how important IT was to the equation, and so they included us right away in all the due diligence. We generated a communication strategy around that, and then we were very clear with them, even before the acquisition was finalized, what that strategy would be and how we would go forward in a step-by-step process to integrate them into the company. So if you think about, you could have, as a CIO, you could have a consolidation strategy that says, we're going to take the two platforms, our existing platform and their existing platform, and obviously we'd want to have a consolidation strategy that says, your existing platform is no longer going to exist because you're a smaller company and we have more to offer and, you know, whatever. But those people coming in, that generates what I would not consider to be a real love for the new IT shop, because we're telling them what they're going to do, and no longer will they have the most beloved system that they ever thought because we're about to take it away. So you need to be clear, you need to be concise, you need to show them the benefits of the strategy. You need to show them and make sure that your technology is as good or better than the one you're about to replace. And then you need to have very strong senior leadership backing to say, our goal here is to make money off the acquisition. And if we're going to make money, that means we have to minimize the number of platforms, the number of applications, and the cost associated with that. And if you do all that the right way, people understand that because, again, it relates to the profitability of the deal. And the more profit we make on the deal, the more that ends up in people's bonuses, quite frankly.
So when you do this and you know that there might be some, mixed feelings about the very acquisitions because there's a lot of reduction in force-related things that could happen, or people who are at peer level at the business unit later, one of them may go. And so there's uncertainty. So you are trying to send out messages to create positive vibes about IT where the guy doesn't know if he's going to have the job next year or not.
Yeah, the most important, here's where the rub really happens. Most of the companies that we acquire or merge with have a different philosophy about what I would call desk site support staff. And most of the time they have people who sit right outside their desk. I'm talking about the management now. They have people who sit right outside their office who, when they have a problem with a PC, they yell out and they say, come fix it, and then someone gets up from the desk and they run in there. We're a big company, and we have a very a big part of our IT strategy is an outsourcing, outtasking, insourcing mix. And desk side support is something that we traditionally outsource because it has nothing to do with real estate. It has to do with something that's very technical. And we could pay an outsource provider to do that for the same or better, lower, then we could do it ourselves, and we have all the benefits of outsourcing around that type of technical skill. But when we do an acquisition, the thought that we're going to take that person who's outside their desk or outside their office and replace them with somebody on the phone is incredibly scary for people, and we get a lot of kickback about that. And then we take them on a tour, we show them how it works, we give them the statistics, they still are upset. We say it's part of our strategy. We move forward with that. A lot of times we will transition that. So we'll leave that person in place who's outside their office for 6 months, but then we'll start to gradually move them to do other things, and we'll move them away from the office. So it's sort of a give and take. And 6 months to 8 months later, we're pretty much have driven our strategy into the acquired company, and you know, we're back on track with them, and they get better service, because quite frankly today, the ability to call in to have somebody take control of your PC to fix those things is, you know, is very good, and we do our outsource providers do that very well.
Now, talking about the face of corporate IT, which is changing, you know, we have had our days when the IT leadership could execute control and tell the world out there, hey, this is what you're going to use, and this is what is needed for us to keep a uniformity across the board, homogeneity in the way computing is done, and keep the cost low so that there's no redundancy. Now comes the point where it is end user who wants to get a control on how they want to carry go about doing this, and many times it is more effective, and an end point user is more productive if they use the technology they want to use. So the paradigm is shifting, and there is an increasing pressure on the IT leadership. When this is going to happen, now there is going to be a tussle regardless, and at the same time you want to have IT look good in front of these people. So how do you eat the cake and have it too?
There's a couple ways that we're trying to deal with this issue. I happen to be a sort of a user advocate as a CIO. I mean, if you look at, just take the PC for instance, a lot of companies will lock down their desktops. And so it becomes a very sterile environment. Everybody's PC looks exactly the same. You can get good corporate messages out, you know, from your marketing department on, you know, background screensavers, that kind of thing. But in the end, it makes the machine a less friendly environment, I think, for people. So we took the opposite approach and said, we'll probably need to lock down some things for security reasons, because we have Sarbanes-Oxley requirements and other, you know, controls that we need to adhere to. But the things that we don't, we're going to leave open and let the user select their background and their screen server, and make that tool a very important thing for them and a very personal thing for them. It, after all, it's called a personal computer, and it should make them more efficient. And having a picture of their family in the background makes them work an extra half hour because they can see the family on the screen and not have to go home to do it. You know, that's not so bad, and it creates more efficiency, you know, in our workplace. So we kind of start there, and then we go on to what I would call the next phase, which is the people. And so I mentioned we have an insourcing, outsourcing strategy, and we outsource the very technical things, and we insource the things that are relating more to the real estate business part of IT, and that's the things that affect our general user every day. So we have what's called technology relationship managers as part of our contingent of insourced employees. And these people are responsible for working with the business on a day-to-day basis around the world, collecting requirements, driving the strategy, personalizing the environment to the business, and even to individuals to do that. And then there's sort of the third piece of this is when we do development, and we do quite a bit of it in the real estate area because there's not a lot of companies out there supporting the real estate industry. We use an approach that's more like a rapid development approach. So we will actually put developers out with business people, and we'll have them spend weeks with these people on site, sitting down directly with them, letting them drive the product, and that's the way we create. We create iteratively, rapid development fashion, and they end up getting the things that are solving their business problems, as opposed to, let me try to take a package solution and slam it in and see if I can get us 80% of the way there.
Social networking. You know, this is the latest trend, and people are trying to use it in any form of fashion. And I guess there's a value for this to be utilized in any sort of messaging that we could ever have that was to go out to the constituents within the organization as well. Is there anything that you are able to do or an IT leadership can creatively use for the PR purposes and making sure that IT is getting some respect and the right messages are going out? Or I call social networking more for word of mouth, marketing and PR. So I think that could be a very effective tool if used internally.
Yeah, I think where it affects us is with the younger generation. I think people come to a company, especially young kids out of college or, you know, 1 or 2 years of experience, come to a company and want to see progressive attitude and a growth-minded spirit. And so the concept of adopting social networking tools, at least today in my opinion, is about attracting those people. And the concept of, you know, a blog, if I went to your average, you know, salesperson here at Jones Lang LaSalle, who's probably my age, you know, mid-40s or a little older, and started talking about blogs, I wouldn't get a lot of excitement. But I do see the value in it as it relates to the future of the company and the growth of the company. For me, the phenomenon of the social networking sites and the technology around social networking is, in our business, is probably 5 years away to really contributing. We do spend some time on it now as it relates to strategy and where we want to take those sites. But again, I'm not going to see a lot of use from my normal average constituent out there.
Now, how would you, if at all, like even 5 years from now, if you were to see it in the future and your organization or many other who may be ready for it yet, in all what way would you think this could be utilized?
You know, to me it's around, it's still about sharing knowledge in a conscious stream of thought and how you... How can you data mine conscious streams of thought? I struggle with that, quite frankly, because if I think about, I mean, just think about the concept of message boards and things like that. I happen to be a college football fan, and so I spend a little time in my spare time on the Purdue Boilermaker, message boards. Some of it's very interesting, and I learn a lot, but more than 50% of it is sort of a waste of time. And so what we have to try to do is figure out how we can use the medium and cut to the chase be able to cull through what conscious streams of thought people have and find out what's really relevant to the business and how it can affect people to day to day. I'm not exactly sure how we do that yet. You know, it is something that I'm thinking about in terms of the way we'll use those tools and how we'll go about effectively driving some conscious streams of thought on our own. I think, you know, for instance, if IT had a blog or if we used Facebook around Jones Lang LaSalle IT, and we had some conscious streams about interaction with the business, I think if the business read some of that stuff, they'd understand some of the struggles we have in working with them and some of the things they could do better in order to get a better service from us. Now, it has to end up not being a rant. and that's the trick, because once you turn people loose on this stuff, you can get a lot, you know, it tends to be a forum for people who are very negative. And so the ranting will start, and then as soon as the ranting starts, the people who are constructive and are really trying to drive a business will turn it off. So, you know, I'd love to say I have an exact way that I'm thinking about doing this, but quite frankly, I haven't figured it out yet, maybe because I'm 45 years old, but, you know, it's something I'll probably ask my daughter about and say, you know, how would you use this and start getting some answers from the younger generation, because I think within that generation is where we're going to get the connection. They don't know the business well enough yet to make the connection, but together, you know, maybe we can make the connection.
So with you working and you got the right mindset, you want to take the company further, what is happening with your crew, the IT crew, which is already stressed out and it's got its own grievances, and on top of it you ask them to become the messengers of IT and spread the good word? How first of all, how easy it is. I know it's not going to be easy, but what strategies could be used to make that happen and have, I mean, you cannot do the whole job alone as a leader.
No. I mean, I kind of start with, the next level of leaders in my organization, and I actually put it in their goals and objectives. I have communications as part of their goals and objectives, and I put them in the right situations in order to do what you're suggesting, which is to go out and be the piper of IT within the organization and to try to talk it up. I mean, I think part of it goes back to the way we're organized and the way we've chosen to staff up. And, we have that strategy of take the real technical stuff and outsource it or out-task it, and keep the stuff that's about the real estate and the business and keep that inside. And so through that bifurcation, if you will, I concentrate on my employees having the right set of social skills necessary to sell. I mean, one of the things I look for in all my employees are good core consulting skills, able to communicate, able to write, able to sell what we do. Good consultants can sell because they have to sell to earn money. And if you take those people, I'm a big fan. I came from Pricewaterhouse. I'm a big fan of sort of big four type of people in that technology relationship manager role. Because they'll understand the business very quickly. They'll know how to sell what it is we do in terms of benefits. And we spend a lot of time on measuring benefits and tracking those benefits. So it continually adds to the story as we go forward. So I think it's about who you hire and what you do. And everybody I bring into IT at Jones Lang LaSalle, the first question I ever ask them is, so you want to be a real estate technologist, not an IT guy, because if you just want to be an IT guy, that we're not the right company for you, because we don't have the longevity in the career path if you don't want to learn the real estate business and you don't want to help drive the real estate business.
Now, one last question. Now, like you've seen the challenges of spreading the right type of message, and you would have groomed yourself in a certain area. We know the current breed of IT leaders and the step-up candidates who are wannabes. What kind of grooming would you suggest?
We actually have some formal processes here at Jones Lang LaSalle in terms of our succession planning. I'll often put people through sales management classes. The firm offers those for its regular sales staff, so I will put people through those. I belong to a group called the CIO Executive Board, and they have a sort of a higher level training program that we're going to put two people through this year. And those higher level training programs have nothing to do with the bits and bytes of technology. It has everything to do with the soft skills around how do I take a project from inception of ideas through to completion, which would include selling that project, commenting on performance of that project, showing the value of that project and what the value of IT has brought to that project and to that business. And so, we'll do that formally. And then there's just the informal chat that says, here's what we're trying to achieve, here's how you need to go talk to, and here's how I'd like you to present that message, and let's make sure they understand value and benefits by the time you're done.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Dave, for sharing your thoughts about how to become the Pied Piper CIO, who's able to help spread the right message and make IT look good, along with his crew in front of the non-IT constituents.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure talking with you and meeting you.
Thanks again. Now, adoption of an IT initiative depends on multiple factors, and it also, one of the important one is the relationship with the end user community and the non-IT business unit leaders who actually foster an environment where the IT folks are liked and trusted. So how do we build this relationship? Not just at the time of a rollout of that big IT system, but in fact, it should be done at frequent intervals where IT leadership and the crew interacts preferably one-on-one with the non-IT members of the organization, get to know them as people and as IT users and learn about their preferences and listen to them. Idea is to create an internal word-of-mouth marketing and communication machine where IT is a group that cares is the kind of impression that you want to give. And if we charge ahead with this intent, the rest should fall in place. What internal PR and communication strategies have worked for your organization when it comes to making IT more likable? Please let us know your thoughts. Email us at views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog Gall, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.